Welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button and click notifications so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, we're joined by Dr. Matthew Hatzke. Matthew is an endodontist who lives in Sacramento, California, and owns a practice in Lodi. Prior to following his parents' footsteps in dentistry, Matt played soccer at Santa Clara University and was later drafted by the LA Galaxy of Major League Soccer. He was then traded to his hometown team of the San Jose Earthquakes and played there in 2008. Matt is a very proud member of the LGBTQ+ community and has shared his story publicly about coming out and the struggles he faced in the world of professional sports. He's committed to be an integral part in the continuing struggle for equality, visibility, and acceptance. So Matthew, thank you, and welcome today to our channel.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So like a number of our guests, we kind of got to know each other through friends of friends and the world of dentistry. And truthfully, when we first met, I didn't even realize that you had this history and your coming out story. And then I was like, well, that's interesting. I got to Google this guy. And then I discovered it made national news. I mean, you are a former pro soccer player. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to kind of chit chat today to kind of talk about the struggles of our brothers and sisters in professional sports and just in society in general. So if you would, why don't you just kind of share with our viewers kind of your background in sports and kind of how things transpired to get to where you ended up getting in professional sports?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in San Jose, California. I have two brothers who were very competitive playing soccer and other sports growing up. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, had a good youth career and was recruited to play at Santa Clara University. And it was there, you know, I saw my career potential advance. Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing well enough. Coaches were telling me I was, you know, getting some looks from professional scouts and saying it might be a possibility. And so this was 2008 when I was eventually drafted, and I was one of 50 players that got invited to the combine. So it was a really proud achievement for me. And then I ended up getting drafted and played a year professionally in 2008. Mm-hmm. My older brother actually played professionally for 2 years in Houston and played at Cal. And so we were kind of rivals in college, but nice. Always helping each other through our careers. So, it, you know, it's something I'll never forget. And it was a great experience, but it also in some ways feels like a lifetime ago.
I'm sure. And, you know, things have certainly changed since 2008. They've changed, you know, dramatically since, I guess you could even say the 90s. People kind of often point to Will and Grace's debut as one of those big changes within, and Ellen, of course, coming out. Yeah. And so I know myself as a gay man, not playing professional sports, but even within dentistry, I was so, so afraid to come out, particularly when I went through my training in the early 90s. Right. So talk to us a little bit about your coming out story and how that ended up integrating with your experience in professional sports.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A question I always get is, when did you know? And on a certain level, I feel like I've always known, you know, being younger, you can't quite identify it. You know, something was different. I couldn't quite figure it out. And then, you know, growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, there was not a lot of visibility. Like you brought up Ellen. I always said, I swear she was like the only out person I was aware of growing up. And that was in the early 2000s, which is not that long ago, and people kind of forget because there had been a lot of progress between, you know, in the last 10, 12 years.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, obviously in the sports world, there's very few, if any, you know, out gay male athletes. On the women's side, there's a lot more visibility, which is great. But yes. in the world of men's sports, it hasn't been as visible. And so, you know, my personal journey was probably the biggest holding me back was self-acceptance and trying to figure out how I was going to live this life authentic and be happy, because there just weren't examples. And so when I finally, you know, had the courage to come out, I basically have tried to commit to being the example that I wish I had to look up to when I was younger, because, you know, I think there's a lot more visibility now. And I even continue that in the world of dentistry. You know, I want young LGBTQ plus community kids to know they can do whatever they want. It doesn't have to be professional sports. It doesn't have to be dentistry. But, you know, I think it's a responsibility for us who are fortunate to have, you know, supportive people in safe environments to be visible and kind of present that, you know, to be your authentic self and you can do what you want.
Sure, sure. And there's, you know, on this channel, we talk a lot about positivity and mindset. And I had never thought of this before, but something that kind of struck me here is that, you know, everybody's going through their own struggles. And we had Sean Swarner on an interview earlier this year, and he climbed Mount Everest with one lung, having survived two cancers.
Yeah.
And I was chatting with him about how he impacted my life. And he looked at me and he said, look, never, ever, ever compare yourself to somebody else, because everybody has their own Everest. And I thought that was really quite striking. And isn't it interesting that, you know, for our brothers and sisters, for so many of us, this is our Everest. Mm-hmm. This is something that seems insurmountable.
Right.
While at the same time, it's the human condition, because we always feel like we're less than, we right. don't know how we measure up and those kind of things. So tell us a little bit about how you made the decision to come out publicly when you were playing frame. Yeah.
So I came out, 5 or 6 years after I was playing, actually. Partly because that was my own personal journey.
Sure.
And a big motivating factor, there was actually a professional soccer player, male, Robbie Rogers, who came out.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of at that point felt like, finally, I'm not alone. There's someone like me, you know, and that's why it's important to have, you know, these out people in all walks of life, because it's going to be that one person you identify with, you click with.
Absolutely.
You know, and in the world of, you know, there's a lot of environments that aren't great or have been notoriously not very welcoming or open. And professional sports would be one of them that are, you know, hyper macho, and the perceived idea that maybe LGBT people are less than or less strong, less all these things, less than in general. And so, you know, kind of getting from that to the journey of self-acceptance, and then seeing this other example and being like, wow, if he can do it, you know, I can do it. And so it started small. It started with, you know, coming out to a few people, and then my family, and then figuring out kind of what level of out I'm comfortable with. And it's funny, I talk to, you know, some straight friends and allies still, and they don't understand that coming out is a continual process. I consider it every single day with my patients, my referrals, you know, and I have to make that decision of how much you reveal of yourself. And it's a daily thing. And I remember when I was younger and coming out, I thought, oh, I come out and I'm done. But no, it's a continued process. You know, I'm a lot more comfortable with it, but you know, there's still times I keep certain things closer to vest, and you know, that's just the professional world as well. So it is kind of interesting.
Absolutely. I think I shared this with you when we were chit-chatting on other times. I think it was 2015, in one of my keynote addresses in front of thousands of dentists, I was talking about my disability from dentistry. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about the story of becoming disabled. And I mentioned, you know, Michael in my lecture, and people took time out of their lives to write an evaluation that was inappropriate. Where my colleagues all the time talk about their wives and why is that okay, but this isn't. And it's not like I was up there talking about him. I was just talking about my disablement journey, and that's what people heard. And so through these common journeys, I've thought about my own journey and talked to other people. Can you share with us maybe some of the things that you were afraid about that didn't come to fruition that you realized, oh, that wasn't a big deal after all?
Yeah, I think probably the number one would be rejection by family and friends. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this irrational thing. It was irrational in my mind, because even if there's like a 0.001% chance of it happening, I mean, that can be such a obstacle to overcome.
Sure.
You know, I consider myself pretty lucky. I would say I almost have 100% positivity and support, and have not even heard comments that you got in terms of that. And I know that's very few and far between. And I know it causes fractures, a lot of relationships with families and friends. And so I'm very fortunate in that way. And so I kind of feel like obligated and to help continuing being visible and to just continue to move us forward.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, kudos to you too, because there was no reason for you to come out publicly.
Right.
And my own personal opinion, and you said it as well, it's everybody's personal journey. And I don't believe that the community at large should force anybody out of the closet until they're ready, but you made the conscious choice to do so. Right. And so I think that's fantastic, because as we were talking about this interview, you said something incredible, which is something I hold dear too, which is if you can even impact one person, that's a huge benefit. And so
yeah, for sure. That's been my goal. If you know, I've had the opportunity to, you know, talk about it on various platforms in the mm-hmm. last number of years since coming out publicly. And, you know, some people reach out and then you know it's worth it. And
absolutely.
You know, I consider myself, you know, somewhat more private of a person. And so when I was first starting, it was kind of hard to talk about. And but you know, now yeah, I'm not just like I'm proud to be an LGBT member and contribute to society and contribute to the movement of acceptance, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny, even though being on the younger side, I grew up in a time where there weren't out people.
Yeah.
It wasn't long ago. And, you know, gay marriage passed. And in the last couple of years, you couldn't be fired for being gay. And I just try to educate my straight friends that, like, hey, this is the reality. In 30 states, you could have still been fired for yep. being, you know, sexual orientation or gender identity.
Yep.
And they're like, I can't believe that. I'm like, yeah, that's the reality.
Absolutely.
And it's as simple as donating blood, you know, in a time when the coronavirus pandemic, people, you know, they've lessened the restrictions, but there's still obstacles and discrimination that are archaic and you know, discriminatory and shouldn't be in place. And so there's just all these different, you know, things that it's important to, you know, educate allies about.
Absolutely. And particularly the blood donation element, it flies in the face of science and reason, because right. they test all the blood anyway. Right. And so it is purely a discriminatory practice that's not based on science, that doesn't exist in certain other countries.
Right.
So when you think back to your younger self, in your shoes today, what would you tell your younger self?
You know, I think eventually that it'll be okay. And, you mm-hmm. know, I think there's the cliche thing that it gets better, you know, and I hope that is the case for most people, but I also realize it's not.
Right.
Know, people really struggle and lose all contact and support systems. And so, you know, to continue to just appreciate what I have, you know, my life's not perfect. You know, it's been a challenge. Even, you know, relationships with families never soured, but, you know, learning to understand and for them to really understand what I went through or still go through, you know, I don't think unless you are seeing it day to day, you can't understand it unless you've gone through it. So I think, you know, the message to myself is, you know, stick with it, you know, you can do what you want. Unfortunately, I had the support of family and friends that always supported me in that way, even before knowing I was gay. But especially now, I mean, every time I do something talking about it, you know, I get a lot of support, which is motivating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And particularly in the world of professional sports, I guess I'm going to ask the almost the same question, but in a different way. So if you were talking to a young male, female, doesn't matter, who is struggling with their identity or their sexuality, that is in professional sports or thinking about professional sports or collegiate sports, what would you say to those people?
Yeah. I mean, in a way, I've always thought the person who's eventually going to be the out professional star is going to be someone who's been out kind of from their teenage years, you know,
yeah.
not a big announcement, because that's kind of a hard thing to do, but I hope any way it could happen, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am hopeful that the younger generations, the teens nowadays, you know, see members, have friends that are LGBTQ plus members in the community. You know, one of my good friends is a youth soccer coach, and I got to do a talk with him, you know, so his kids can see that. And, you know, it's just, I think slowly, you know, society changed but you know, the next generation are going to be the ones who make it easier. And, you know, now there are examples of, you know, men and women and anyone in all sports, you know, who have been out publicly. You know, I came out publicly on outsports.com because that's where, you know, kind of resonated with me. It was about athletes of all levels, high school, college, and beyond. And so I think having areas where they can, you know, see themselves and other people like them who have come before them to know it's possible. And I, you know, I got to think it's in the grand scheme of things, it's trending in the right direction. You know, there's going to be incidents that are negative or bad, but you know, I think it's becoming more ripe for the opportunity for someone to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's really insightful and, you know, history moves forward, or time moves forward, whether we like it or not. And if you look at the overarching arc, we are trending in the right direction. And nobody ever said that the human experience was a linear progression. It kind of goes like this. But if we kind of take a look back to your younger days as a coach, one of the things I was trained on, which has changed my life dramatically, is the concept that there's no such thing as a mistake, barring hurting another human being. Because if you go back in time with the same knowledge, intelligence, intuition, passion, insight, you would make the same decision all over again. So there isn't anything, there isn't any such thing as a mistake. However, I am curious, if you take a look back into your career, can you share with us a moment or two where you felt like, you know, looking back, I had a different choice at the time. Maybe I could have gone a different direction.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you talk about that, because I've kind of felt the same way. You know, people are like, do you wish you came out earlier? And I said, I've always said, I mean, no, it was just kind of my journey and my time. I had to go through what I had to go through to reach, you know, self-acceptance. And that's probably the biggest hurdle for most people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't really have regrets about when or how it happened. You know, I was later in life till I came out to my family. I was 27, you know?
Oh, okay.
So it's quite a long time. You know, in a way I'm like, yeah, but you know, I don't know. I got to do a lot of cool things. I got to play professional soccer. I got to travel the world playing soccer. So it was all kind of contributed to how things worked out. So, you know, like you said, barring hurting anyone, but yeah. I would not say I have any real regrets about how things have transpired and how things have gone since. It's kind of funny when I try to think about my life pre coming out, it's almost like a little blurrier. You know, my life is clearer and I remember a lot more than from before. You know, it's a lot to emotionally take on and be alone with for a long time. And so I don't know, the memories from before aren't as clear.
right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And talk about, you know, feeling emotionally alone and isolated. If hopefully we have some athletes watching this interview today, that may not necessarily be out yet. And so what would you say to an athlete today that isn't out, that is afraid and doesn't know what to do and is just kind of stuck in that emotional scary place? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, first, you know, you have to have a strong network around you. So make sure you have the support of friends or family, whoever chosen family are. Because it could be challenging, that's for sure. And then the other thing is, you know, there are examples of out athletes now in most sports. And, you know, like OutSports is good about publishing people's email addresses or their, you know, social media accounts to potentially reach out to and, you know, kind of build the network and control the narrative. Because I think part of the thing is losing control. Yes. And I don't want to feel under control. And so if you do it on your terms, you get to control the narrative and how it comes out, because no one wants to be outed, as we talked about.
But, absolutely.
Controlling the narrative as best you can and supporting yourself with the right support group.
That sounds great. And so you talked about life before coming out, life after coming out. And so what are some of the things to give our younger viewers or our closeted athletes hope? What about your life post coming out you talked about clarity. So there's that. But what other things do you kind of look to about, you know, life is pretty good now that I'm kind of living my true self?
I mean, there's a physical weight that comes off your shoulders. You know, there's a levity to life. You know, life is going to be challenging no matter what. This is just one aspect that's challenging. You know, buying a practice this year has stressed me out and challenged me and, you know, brings back some feelings of anxieties that I used to have. And, you know, so you just kind of learn to roll with the punches the more you experience and the more you go through. But, you know, I think ultimately the weight off your shoulders is probably one of the more amazing things, you know, keeping that inside and, you know, trying to hide that in every aspect of your life is all consuming and exhausting. And
so absolutely,
it's quite liberating in a physical way, actually.
It's true. And I'm even thinking of myself because 30 seconds ago, 2 minutes ago, as we were chatting, I was listening to the words that were coming out of your mouth. And I was thinking to myself, holy smokes, I never in a million years would have ever even considered talking about myself, let alone interviewing, you know, a brother that has gone through a similar journey, but in a different way. And so I am very thankful for how society has changed. We do have a long way to go. There's so many problems and so many issues out there, gender identity in our trans community. And so there's so much work that we have to do. And we can't take our foot off the gas in being visible and being there for our brothers and sisters. While at the same time, I do believe that we need to honor all of the sacrifices that have come before us and kind of where we are today. And that was one of the reasons why I thought it would be so amazing to chat with you today. So I really appreciate your time.
Well, I mean, it's definitely so important. I'm not the first or the most public, but, you know, I'm so grateful to the generations before who, you know, had to put up with a lot worse. I'm grateful to the time I grew up in, and I hope it continues to improve so that each generation has it easier. I think coming to terms with sexual orientation and gender identity is always going to be a challenge because it's not the majority, it's not the norm.
Yep.
And so there's always going to be a challenge in that kind of regardless of the situation. But if we can continue to make it a better environment and show examples of, you know, happy people, like you talked about, you know, the sitcoms, they used to, you know, gays were portrayed as these caricatures and, you know, yep. in one particular way, they're just portrayed in one particular way. And it was never really in a positive light. It was kind of the butt of a joke or, you know, not in a good way. And so it's important for all people to see themselves in one capacity or another.
Absolutely.
A happy, healthy adult life. I remember being younger and thinking, this doesn't reconcile how I can grow up and be a happy adult. Like there just weren't examples of it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's, you were just talking about sitcoms and, you know, Schitt's Creek just ended just about a year ago. And, you know, in some of the interviews that they were talking about, they went out of their way, all of the writers, to make it just be. And it wasn't an issue. It just, this is who the character was. And I found that so refreshing. And I didn't even realize it because I'm a huge fan of the show. I thought it was amazing. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching Daniel Levy's character and I'm like, wait a minute. It just is, right? And so this has come so far in society. So I think that's
I mean, that's progress when it's not noted.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So that's when it'll be when it's not news.
Yeah.
Every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate your time today. Any closing thoughts that you would like to share as we mentioned earlier, if we can help just one person, if you had that one person sitting in front of you, any closing thoughts for our viewers?
Yeah, you know, I'd be happy for anyone who would like to contact me. We can give them my contact information.
Sure. We'll put it below.
But, you know, just continue to try to be the best version of yourself, the most authentic version of yourself. You know, if you have resources, reach out, build the network and support system that is going to provide you with the best environment. And then, you know, practice self-love and self-care. It is, you know, you have to live with yourself the rest of your life. So you have to figure out how to be happy happy with yourself. And it's a journey. It's not going to be fixed in one moment, but mm-hmm. it's a constant process. And then, you know, once you do come out, like I said, it's a never ending process, which is yes. something I wasn't really aware of. But, you know, I think there are more resources now than ever, specifically in the sports world, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm just very hopeful for the future. Even in the crazy times that we've been living in the past couple of years, I still think things will continue to improve in the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely. Very, very wise words and hopeful words. So yeah. Thank you so much. So thanks again for joining us today. As you said, we're going to go ahead and post your information below and some other resources for the community. So thanks everyone for joining us. Please don't forget to subscribe and click the notification button. And lastly, as I always say, remember, life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.